Well, welcome everybody to Basic Gospel and another edition of our Friday study series called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue in that series centered on Bob's book of the same title, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you don't have a copy of the study guide or the book for that matter, well, visit our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find the link right there on the front page. But right now, it's time to get underway with today's study, and here to do that is my friend, Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're on page 113 in our study guide. And we're really on our last chapter of the book, and it's talking about eternal life. I mean, all throughout the New Testament, we see statements like John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life or eternal life. We see in First John chapter 5, this is the testimony that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And he says, I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. We see at the very end of John's gospel that he wrote, I write these things that you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that by believing in him you might have eternal life. This is the prize. This is the goal. This is what God wants for us, eternal life. Now, for most of us, we think about that in terms of longevity, that it's going to last forever. But as we studied last week, there's a quality to this life that is different than anything else that we see out there in the world, and the quality of this life is in relationship, in knowing and being known. And the knowing is in knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. That's how Jesus defined eternal life for us. And so God wants to give us a knowledge of himself. He wants to reveal himself to us. And that's exactly why Jesus came into this world. He came into this world to make the Father known to you and to me. Now, all of us grew up probably knowing that God exists. We look out into the skies and just around the world, and we think, gosh, there's got to be someone bigger than us who brought this thing into being. And that's true. God exists. But we don't know much about him apart from that, the fact that he exists. And so we set out trying to figure out what God is all about. And we rely on our own understanding. We rely on our intellect. We rely on information that friends give us. And all of that's going to be jaded because when we're lost, we're under the control of sin. So we're seeing things through sin's perspective.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that's not a very good view. That doesn't give us accurate knowledge. It doesn't give us the truth about God. And then the gospel touches our hearts. We respond to that in faith, and we start to see God for who he really is, that God is love. So God said in the beginning, God, he initiated this whole thing. He spoke and brought it into being. Now he initiated the gospel. He sent Jesus into this world. And his grace, when we responded to that, his grace started to work in us a desire to know God, to really grow in our knowledge of God. Well, how does that unfold? How does that take place in our lives? And we're going to study a passage, a couple of verses in 1 John, where John sketches out how our knowledge of Christ begins to grow, what we first start to learn, and then how we add to that, and where we ultimately get to as far as this relationship with God is concerned. So in 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 14, and we read this, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So we see some stages there. We see children, we see young men, and we see fathers. And so he's using kind of our human growth patterns. We come into this world as children, as infants, as babes. And as infants and babes, there's just limited knowledge that we have. If you're in a family, you're two or three, you know some details. You know that that lady over there is your mom, and you call her mommy. And you know that man over there is dad, and you call him daddy, and you know you belong to them. And that's about as deep as the knowledge gets. And then you grow up and you start learning a little bit more of who they are and what they're like, and that begins to shape you. And then you become an adult and you see them in a completely different perspective, and you start to really understand the depth of who they are. And this is what John is sketching out for us. So in 1 John 2, verses 12 and 14, we ask the question, what two things did John say to children? Well, the first thing that he said to children was this: I write to you, young children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So what does God want you to know about him? He wants you to know that he has forgiven your sins. He's cleared the deck. Now that's important. That's going to make that connection with him that much tighter. Why? Because you're not going to fear him. You're not going to fear punishment. You realize that your sins have been forgiven. And then he says in verse 14, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. Now, what does that mean? Well, you're not going to know the details of God's character and all the nuances of who he is, but you're going to know him as your Father. Yeah. Now, we see that in a couple of passages, Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 4. God said he sent his Spirit into our hearts, and by his Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. So we know we're part of the family of God. We know we belong. We know we're in relationship with God, and we can genuinely call him Father. Yeah. So as far as children are concerned, new believers in Christ Jesus, here's the knowledge God wants to impart to you and wants you to embrace it and rest in it and have the assurance that indeed these things are true. Your sins are forgiven, and God is your Father.
Yes, indeed. That is good news. And friends, if you've just joined us, this is our weekly teaching edition of Basic Gospel based on Bob's book and study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Now, if you have missed any of these Friday studies along the way, you can catch up or fill in the blanks, as I say, by visiting our program archive, and you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. Once again, basicgospel.net/teaching. You know, any time is a great time to say thank you for what Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection by making a generous contribution to keep his message going forward on Basic Gospel. But it's especially true at this time, Resurrection Month of April. And as you make your gift this month, request a copy of the CD called Proof, the Resurrection, and we'll send this CD to you. And, of course, that title tells all about what it is and what it's about, Proof, the Resurrection. And it's our way of saying thank you back to you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel in this month of April. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. We want you to have one. But again, this is our Friday teaching edition, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And once again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we're growing in our knowledge of God, and that's what eternal life is all about. That's what gives our lives here and now that transcendent quality, that we are above and beyond what we see out there in the world. It's not because of anything that we've done. It's because God has reached out to us in grace and mercy. Yeah. He's initiated to us. We've responded to him in faith. We've become new creatures in Christ. And now we have Christ living in us, and we have this encouragement, this admonishment from Peter and the rest of the New Testament writers that we're to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been equipped to do that. So we're sketching out what that looks like. So we've talking about children, about new believers in Christ Jesus. And the information that God the Father wants us to know about him is that he has forgiven our sins and that he is our Father, that we are in relationship to him. Now, if you're involved in ministry, if you're a Sunday school teacher, or if you're a Bible study teacher, or maybe you are a pastor, or maybe you're an associate pastor, whatever it might be, these are some important truths to really grasp hold of as far as your ministry is concerned. When you are encountering new believers, if God wanted you as a new believer to know that your sins are forgiven and to know that you belong to him, that he is your Father, what should you be teaching new believers? Yeah, that their sins are forgiven, yeah, and that they truly are children of God. Yeah. So you want to give them all the assurance that you possibly can that these things are true. And you want to read passage after passage after passage after passage about the forgiveness that we have in Christ and this relationship, all the passages in the New Testament that teach us about our identity, teach us that we truly are children of God. And if a young believer, a new believer, grabs hold of those things, it is really going to set a proper foundation for him or her to continue to grow in their knowledge of Christ Jesus. And here's the reason why. If you don't know that God has forgiven your sins, then you're going to be afraid to approach him. You're going to be afraid to draw near. Why? Because if you do, you feel like it's going to be met with some type of punishment. But when you know your sins have been forgiven, that's the love of God. And the love of God is going to say, hey, I want to know more of who this God is all about.
Yeah.
If you truly know you're a child of God and have that identity secure, it's going to give you confidence in that relationship that you have with God the Father. So these are important truths. So if you're in ministry and you're dealing with brand new believers or even seasoned believers, because there are people who have been in Christ for 15, 20, 30 years, and we've received emails and letters and phone calls from people that have been in Christ for that long, and they say, I'm just now learning that my sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And they're saying, if only I knew this 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Talked with a guy the other day and said, man, I've known Christ for 40 years, and if only I'd known about this new covenant, about the fact that God remembers my sins no more 40 years ago, wow, how different my Christian life would have been. So if you're in ministry, be sure to really teach believers about their forgiveness in Christ and their new identity.
Sure.
Now, the second phase that John talks about is young men. The second group is young men. So what is true of young men according to 1 John 2:13-14? And it says this, I am writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. And then he says, I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. So What does God want us to know? Well, he wants us to know that there is victory over the world that we live in, over the enemies that we encounter each and every day. And so you learn about that victory, you rest in that victory that you have in Christ, and then when Satan sends his fiery darts at you, you know how to deflect those,
right,
and continue to stand in who you are in Jesus Christ. So you've learned that. You've learned that God is victorious, that he has overcome sin and death. He has defeated Satan. He has defeated the works of the devil. And if he is for you, who can be against you? So young men are learning that about God the Father, the victory that he won through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about fathers. He talks about what they know. And we see him talking about fathers in this same passage. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And he says, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. So he repeats that.
Yeah.
And so it seems similar to what he said to children. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. So what's the difference there? What do fathers know about God that young children wouldn't know about God? So as we talked about young children, they're just going to know that that guy over there is my father, not going to know much about him. That's the way I was with my dad. Like I said last week, when my first grade teacher asked what my dad did and what he was like, well, I said he slept all the time. Well, that's all I knew. I didn't know what drove him, what was his heart like, and all of those sort of things. And I started learning that as I grew in age and got to see him from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So young children are going to know that they're connected to that person. We, as young believers, are going to know that God is our Father. But as we grow in our knowledge of him, we're going to know what it means that he is our Father. We're going to see his characteristics, his fatherly characteristics, expressed toward us. Mm-hmm. And those characteristics are going to start to flow out of us. So we're going to have a concern. Fathers are protective. Fathers are providers. Fathers look out for others. They're not thinking about themselves, and certainly that's true of God the Father in exponential terms to what we would understand from a human perspective.
Right.
And so we began to see things not how they impact me, but how can we impact others. We start to look outward as we grow in our knowledge of God the Father.
Yeah.
And that's the way God has set it up. And so we get to grow in this. We get to truly experience eternal life. And that's exciting.
Yes, it is. It is. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is our Friday study series through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. And friends, you know, YouTube videos also are very important of what Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel offer free of charge to everyone. And we take seriously the challenges that our families face and our friends do in the world today. And so to help everyone come to a clear understanding of many of the issues we face in life every day, Bob has produced literally dozens of insight-filled videos that you can access, as I said, anytime. The most recent addition to this poses the question, is it ever too late to be saved? And what a question that is. There are many more videos there as well to point you to truth, and you'll find them all when you visit our YouTube channel. That's basicgospel.net/YouTube. Take advantage of it, friends. It's free of charge, and you can share them with your family and friends. basicgospel.net/YouTube. Right now, back for the conclusion of today's study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, you know, this relationship, as we talked about, is brought about by the grace of God. God reached out to us in grace through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We responded to that through faith. We were then brought into relationship. God sent a spirit into our hearts. We cry out, Abba, Father. And eternal life started right then, mm-hmm. at that moment.
Right.
God began to reveal more and more of himself to us. And we grow in that grace. We grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's eternal life. And that's what we experience here and now. And that is going to be an eternal reality for all of us. Now, this was brought about by grace. And it's amazing that there are many within the church, many Christians who criticize the grace of God, who think we can go overboard in teaching the grace of God. So the grace of God is not without its critics. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this doesn't make any sense at all. How could any believer in Christ be critical of the very reality that saved him and now sustains him?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like being critical of your heart,
right.
The thing that pumps blood, that keeps you alive. it just doesn't make sense. So the grace of God is our very life.
Yes.
I mean, apart from the grace of God, we're still dead in trespasses and sins. Apart from the grace of God, we're without hope. Apart from the grace of God, we're without forgiveness and any of those things that we desperately long for and need. But the reality, many believers are critics of the grace of God. They drone away about taking grace too far, using it as a license to sin. I tell you, being in ministry for 40 years, I've heard that way too many times. I'm just sick of it.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Have you not read the Bible? Have you not opened the pages to see what the writers of the New Testament say about the grace of God and the powerful work that it does inside of us? And the answer to that is no, you haven't.
No.
You haven't read about the grace of God in the Bible. Otherwise, you would not be so critical. They say grace needs to be balanced by law.
Mm.
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
Law had a purpose, and that purpose was to give us the knowledge of sin so that we would understand our need for a Savior. Once that purpose has been fulfilled, the law steps out of the way,
yeah,
and gives way to the grace of God to do its work in us, to save us, to sustain us, to be sufficient in every circumstance of life. So grace doesn't need to be balanced by law. It already has a balance, and that is by grace through faith. That's how God set it up. Those are the two things that go hand in glove,
yeah,
grace and faith. So let's get that right. So God's plan is by grace through faith. This is the balance God strikes in us. It's a balance that connects us to a new command. So one of the criticisms of the grace of God is that it leaves people without law or a rule for life. Now, how does the first promise of the new covenant address this criticism? This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. So is this new covenant without laws? Absolutely not. God says that through his Spirit, he's going to put laws, his laws, in our minds and write them on our hearts.
Yeah.
Now, we have to ask the question, what laws is he talking about? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments, or is he talking about something else? And when you read the New Testament, you recognize that he's talking about something else. And there's a reason for that, because there's been a change in the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to read in just a second that when there's a change in the priesthood, there's also a change in the law.
Right.
So when Jesus ushered in a new covenant, when he stepped in and became our priest forever, there was a change in the law. And what we see is that God has written faith, he has written hope, he has written love into our hearts. These are the things that we live by now. These are the laws of the new covenant: faith, hope, and love. And as we continue to grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, these things will fill more and more of the spaces of our lives, which is exactly what God wants for each and every one of us, to live by faith, hope, and love.
Indeed.
In Jesus Christ.
Great stuff, Bob. Thank you for it. And friends, thank you for being with us for this study edition of Basic Gospel. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website. That's at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership with Basic Gospel, we'll send you a copy of our CD resource called Proof, the Resurrection. We want you to have a copy of it, Proof, the Resurrection. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, that, of course, basicgospel.net. We'll be back on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel, and we hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, we wish you a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.